Okay. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been, have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. And the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the reading of God's holy word.
Good morning again. I feel like I've been saying that a lot today, but it's okay. I like to say good morning. I'm not going to stand up here and act like Joel Osteen and preach that the world is just flowing with fluffy rabbits and cotton candy. I'm not going to sit up here and preach like Benny Hinn and say, be healed. And I'm not going to preach like Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. I'm going to preach like Christian preaches. I'm going to preach like me. And I'm going to preach about freedom. Something that I believe in. Something that I hope the church believes in. And something that I hope our country believes in. Freedom. Let me read you a story. The enemy of the world, Satan, was on the side of life's road with a very large cage. The man coming towards him noticed that it was crammed full of people of every kind, young, old, from every race and nation. A person came up alongside and said, "Where did you get all these people?" Satan replied, "Oh, from all over the world. I lure them with drinking, drugs, lust, lies, anger, hate, the love of money, and all manner of things. I pretend I'm their friend, out to give them a good time. Then when I've hooked them into a cage, they go." The man replied, "What are you going to do with them?" Satan grinned. "I'm going to prod them, provoke them, get them to hate and destroy each other. I'll stir up racial hatred, defiance of law and order. I'll make people bored, lonely, dissatisfied, confused, and restless. It's pretty easy. People will always listen to what I offer them. And what's better, they'll blame God for the outcome." "And then what?" the man asked. "Those who do not destroy themselves, I will destroy. None will escape me." The man stepped forward. "Can I buy these people from you?" he asked. Satan snarled, "Yes, but it will cost you your life." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid for your release, your freedom from Satan's trap, with his own life on the cross of Calvary. The door is open, and anyone whom Satan has deceived and caged can be set free. You see, today, guys, I'm talking about freedom. Freedom from the world. Freedom from Satan. Freedom from sin. The most spectacular freedom anyone could ever imagine. So if you have your Bibles, we're reading from Romans chapter 6, what Craig just read, verses 11 to 23. Verse 11 says, "So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. We are no longer slaves to our sinful nature. We no longer have to look in the mirror every day and see a disgusted self. Yes, we still sin, but guess what? We have something new in us. And that is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Freedom. Let us realize the freedom we have in Christ. Before we realize the freedom we have, let us understand that God hates sin. He loves us, but he hates sin. If we let our sin control us, what kind of message are we sending out? We are virtually saying, God, you are not good enough. The fact is, when we believe in true freedom, that God is good enough. In fact, God is so good that he sent his only Son for us to have eternal life. In the end, that's called freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from Satan. Freedom from the world. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. There are several things that I just love to give in to. When Courtney says, Christian, don't pick up Savannah for she needs her rest. I give in to Savannah because she is so cute and a bundle of joy. When I see a nice juicy burger and I'm hungry, I know I should probably eat a salad to be healthy, but instead I give in to the juicy burger because I am not a rabbit and I love beef. Sin looks good. In fact, it often will look better than what we know we should do. It's called temporary pleasure because the end result of sin is death. It's not something we desire. I don't think that's something we should desire to mess with. Eve looked at that amazing apple on the tree. It looked great, she said. It looked so good. But look what happened as a result of Eve giving in to the temptation. Sin came into the world. Our freedom was taken away. It's time we realize that freedom we have in Christ and say, I don't have to go on sinning like this anymore. God loves me and I hate sin, just like God does. Folks, it's called freedom. Freedom in Christ. Verse 13, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. I spoke on that last time. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. And don't let your body do what is wrong. Sexual sin is a sin that keeps pulling families apart. That's a tough thing to talk about, guys. We don't like to talk about sexual sin, but you know what? It's a part of the world today, and we need to address it. You don't have to struggle with sexual sin anymore. And I'm not just talking to men. Women struggle with it too. Sexual sin pulls families apart, yet we keep letting it happen. Like there's nothing we can do about it. The truth is, there is something we can do about sexual sin. It's called listen and read the Word of God and come back to Jesus Christ. The love of money is what controls our minds, even as Christians. We want. Greed is a sin. Money can only get you so far. True freedom is not found in sexual sin. It's not found in money. It's found only in Jesus Christ. It's time to tap the freedom you have in Christ and say, enough is enough. Jesus, please help me. Verse 14. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. When you accepted Christ into your life, you knew you were broken. Sin was no longer to control you. At different times, it probably creeps back in. But today, fight back, and fight back hard. Read the Word. Desire the relationship through prayer, and give it your all. Remember, you are no longer subjected to sin. Rather, you are subjected to the love and grace of Christ. Because He has set you free. He gave you freedom. Embrace it. Verse 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. We are no longer subjected to the law, so that gives us a get out of jail free card? Wrong. It doesn't give you a get out of jail free card. Freedom, wrong. The freedom talked about here is not that I can do whatever I want, but it's that I can now freely love and worship and put God as number one in my life. That's the kind of freedom I'm talking about. I think it's time we stop doing as we please. It's time we stop asking what can God do for the church. I'm sorry. It's time we stop asking what can God and the church do for me and start asking what can I do for the church? What can I do for God? For I have a new freedom, a new life, and I cannot wait to start using it. Embrace the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. I think we can start doing that. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You ever hear the phrase, you are what you eat? If you eat fatty junk foods, chances are you're probably not going to look fit and healthy. Well, if you keep on sinning, your life is going to reflect it. But if you say to yourself and live it out that you have a newfound freedom in Jesus Christ, then your life shall reflect it. You do not have to subject yourself to sin anymore, but rather give Christ a shot. I guarantee your life will be a lot better. I did not say it would be easier, but I did say it would be better. Again, for you are no longer condemned to eternal punishment in hell, but rather you have eternity in heaven. I think and I hope and I pray you would rather have heaven instead of hell. Verse 17, thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you are wholeheartedly obeying this teaching we have given you. We have been freed. Again, we have been freed from sin. In order for us to fully grasp this freedom, we must obey the teachings of the Word of God. Again, you will still sin, but it's a big but. When we sin with this kind of freedom, we repent and ask the Lord to forgive us. And we strive not to commit those sins anymore. Because we have that freedom. That freedom that we find in Jesus Christ. Now you are, verse 18, now you are free from your slavery to sin. And you have become slaves to a righteous living. You are free from sin that once gripped your life. Maybe you struggle with sins and you're sinning in secrecy. Guys, I'm going to get down on a personal level with you guys. We all sin. We all struggle. And half the time when we sin, we do it without anybody knowing. Well, I'm about to get real with you guys. God knows what you're doing. God knows your struggles. God knows your sins. And He hates it. He doesn't want you to do it anymore. He loves you. He has grace for you. He has compassion for you. And He wants you to say, I don't have to go on sinning anymore. Because I have a God who loves me. In fact, that God loved me so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for me so that I could have that freedom. The freedom from sin, the freedom from Satan, the freedom from hell. And embrace the freedom of grace, the freedom of compassion, the freedom of Jesus Christ. You don't have to sin in secrecy anymore. Stop sinning in secrecy. God most importantly knows what you're doing. It hurts Him tremendously when you sin. So stop and embrace the freedom you have. Verse 19. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you. Understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Slavery is a strong word to use. We often think of slavery as being as men or women being in bondage to other men. We as humans who do not know Christ are in bondage to our sin. We are slaves to our sin. If we are Christians and sinning in secrecy and in bondage to our sins, let us think before you commit the next sin you commit. And understand it's doing no good and only hurting others and God. Verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Do you really want to be free from doing what is right? Last time I checked, we live in a world that strives to do what is right. We as Christians have the freedom to do what is right. But often we get subjected to our worldly nature, our sin nature, and we start doing things that are wrong, that we know is wrong. Things that cause families to break apart. Why do you think the divorce rate today in America is 50%? Because even the divorce rate of Christians in the church is 50%. Because we are not embracing the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Church, we're to be different. Let's embrace the freedom that we have in Christ. Let's strive to be like Jesus Christ more and more every day. And if we do that as a church, you'll see our divorce rate go down. But until we do that, our divorce rate is going to continue going up just like the rest of the world. Do you want to continue doing what is wrong? Or do you strive to do what is right? You are free from the sin that once gripped your life. Maybe you still struggle with sins and you're still sitting in secrecy. Give up that sin. We as humans who do not know Christ are in bondage to our sin. If we are Christians and sinning in secrecy, we are doing what is not good and we are continuing to hurt God. Do you really want to continue to hurt God? Do you really want to embrace the world? Do you really want to embrace a freedom of sin? Or would you rather strive to do what is right? Strive to love God. Strive to love others. And strive to live out the Christian life. Verse 21. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. I don't think I really need to do too much explanation on that. Living in a freedom of sin, living with the freedom of sin instead of the freedom of grace and compassion of Christ leads to our destruction. Destruction of family, destruction of friends, destruction of the church, ourselves, and so much more. But guys, ladies, there's a freedom that we found in Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do these things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. It's time we give up the sins that we have been holding us, that have been holding us back for so long. It's time to say, I don't have to sin anymore. It's time to say, even though sometimes I sin in secrecy, I don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to struggle with sexual sin. We don't have to struggle with depression. We don't have to struggle with image issues. Why? Because God loves you. God loves everyone out here. He loves you. He loves you and you. You know what? He also loves you and you and you. And all the sins that everybody out here struggles with, you don't have to struggle with anymore because God loves you. It's time we find that newfound freedom that we have, that we found when we first became a Christian, and embrace the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. You don't have to struggle anymore. You don't have to go on sinning in secrecy anymore. It's time we as Christians remember to give it over to Christ. You see up here, we have this wooden cross. And this cross up here resembles freedom. A freedom that we have in Jesus. When he said, God, I'm giving it all over to you. Nail me to that cross for the sins of the world. I love everyone down there if they would just come to know who I am and worship me. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This freedom that I keep talking about is free. It does not cost a dime. It's a life-changing freedom. I talked to some of you earlier in my Sunday class. You guys can hand those cards out now. That'd be great. It's the freedom we have in and through Christ Jesus. It's the only freedom that will ever get us to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that commitment to Christ. Or maybe you're here today and you have made that commitment but are struggling. I've been to several political rallies. I'm a political junkie. I like politics. Call me weird, but I like politics. And you see a particular candidate sitting up front, and they're getting all excited. We're cheering for that candidate. All right, go candidate. Some might be chanting, 4 more years, 4 more years. Some might be chanting, 4 more weeks, 4 more weeks. But when we go to a rally for Jesus Christ, we're saying, for eternity. Folks, you don't have to struggle anymore. You don't have to struggle with sin. You don't have to struggle with anything. Every time somebody goes and gives their life over to Christ or recommits their life to Christ, there's one of those rallies going up in heaven. And they're chanting, for eternity. For eternity. Because they love you. And they want you to worship God. They want you to embrace God. They're holding one of those rallies. Maybe there's somebody here today that has never, ever given their life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's somebody here today that is struggling with a sin, and maybe they've kept it secret. Well, today I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime to say to yourself, to the church, and to God, you can say, my sins have kept me in slavery too long. My sins controlled my life, and I'm done. You see up here, there's a wooden cross. I've asked people to hand out note cards to the entire church. You probably have one right now. On this note card, you can write several different things. If you want, pull out the note card, and on that card, write the word sin. Or, if you want, pull out that card and write the word struggles. Or if you're real bold, pull out that note card and write on it the specific sins and struggles that you go through. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. You can either write the word sin, the word struggles, or be bold and write what you actually struggle with. Don't write your name on it, please. Please do not write your name on it. When you're finished down writing down what you wrote on that card, I want you to come up and lay the card at the foot of the cross right here. I want you to understand that it's time you give over your life to Christ. It's that simple. I want you to understand that it's time you give everything over to Christ. All it takes is believing that God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for us, and that He rose in 3 days so that we could have that freedom. You see, ladies and gentlemen, all we have to do is believe and follow the ways of Christ. It's that simple. It's not about the good things we have done or the bad things we have done. It's about believing in Christ. It's about believing in that freedom. So while we sing our final song of It Is Well With My Soul, hymn number 493, I urge you to write on that card and lay it at the foot of the cross. No one here is going to read that card. The dropping off of the card by you at the foot of the cross is a symbol of giving your life completely and faithfully and truthfully over to Christ. It's again saying, it's not about me, but it's all about God. It's not about asking, what can God do for me? It's about asking, what can I do for God? So let's go ahead and sing our final song. And as we're singing it, I ask you guys to come up to the front with your card and lay it at the foot of the cross.